when the Torah is talking about somebody, it usually introduces the person to us. For example, we just read about Noah. Noah, by the way, do you need to build an ark? I know a guy. So Torah is talking about Noah. So Torah says, here's a Noah, and he was a righteous man. When the Torah introduces somebody later on, the Torah usually says who he is, where he comes from, his family. And then, when we are starting the story about Abraham, the Torah is not introducing him at all. The Torah is telling us, off the bat, and God told Abraham, go to the land of Israel. As a matter of fact, it doesn't even say where, just say go. I'll show you where. This is a very strange segue into the whole history of our patriarch. The founder of the Jewish nation, Abraham, does not deserve any explanation who he is, what's his story. We know a lot about him from the Midrash, from other parts of the Torah, but the five books of Moses themselves don't tell us anything. Just, and God told to Abraham, go. Why is that? So here is a very important lesson. The difference between Abraham and all other holy people that preceded him, because before him, we had very good people before him. The difference between them is that Abraham, his whole existence was just listening to what God says. As a matter of fact, we mentioned Noah, just now. It said that Noah was a righteous man. That's what the Torah says. He was a righteous man. So I want to ask you a question. How come Noah was a righteous man and he was saved from the flood, which was obviously a great thing, but how come he did not become a first Jew? Why did Abraham become a first Jew? Because he was a righteous man. He recognized that there is one God and he followed his God's rules, right? Noah did the same. Noah was a righteous man and he recognized that there is one God and he listened to God. God told him to build an ark. He built an ark. God told him, do not murder, do not steal. He did not murder, he did not steal. He followed all God's rules. He was a prophet, obviously. He spoke to God because God communicated to him directly. Here is Noah, who is a righteous man. He is a prophet. He's talking to God. He's recognizing that there is one God. He follows all God's rules. How come he is not becoming the first Jew? And only 10 generations later, Abraham, who seems to do the same, is deserving to be the founder of the Jewish nation. Why is that? Noah knew that there is one God, and Noah was following God's rules. But Noah was only doing what God says, what was making sense to him. Noah was operating within his own understanding, his own parameters. He was not ready for the leap of faith. He was not ready to jump into the sea for it to split. He was listening to God, you know, and God was saying smart things, so he was listening. He was not ready to go. When God came to Abraham, God told him, go. Where? God didn't even tell him where to go to. Go. I'll show you. And Abraham drops everything, takes his wife, and goes. So now we understand why Abraham deserves to be the first Jew, and now we understand why the introduction of who Abraham is, just God's instructions to him. And this also explains why this Torah portion is also telling us about the Brit circumcision. Circumcision is our covenant with God. Wouldn't it make sense that we commit to this covenant when we are already grown people, when we understand what's going on? At least a bar mitzvah kid already knows something, so we should enter into covenant with God when you are 13 at least. Why are we obligated to circumcise a child at 8 days old? He doesn't understand anything yet. No kid in the world remembers his circumcision. When a kid's going to grow up, he's going to say, I didn't commit to anything. It was not my covenant. You did it to me. I didn't consent. Any lawyer would object to such agreement. How could you make an agreement for a child who is 8 days old? And you are telling me that this is my commitment? I didn't commit to anything. But this is the point. A Jew is growing up knowing that there is something that he is committed to just by the fact that he is born, just by the fact that he is Jewish. It was not his choice. Interestingly enough, the deepest parts of who we are not obtained by us by choice. You see, if I have several talents and I develop this talent or that talent, it was my choice. But is this the deepest part of me? No, because I developed it over the years. But my gender, my biological sex is the deepest part of who I am. The fact that I'm human, my humanity, is the deepest part of who I am. I could say, you know what, I want to be a donkey. I want to be a fuzzy rabbit. Why do I have to be a human? I didn't commit to be a human. It was not my choice to be a human. Why do I have to be a human? I want to be a rabbit. So the answer is, this decision was made for you, and it's the deepest part of who you are. You don't have a choice in this. So when a Jewish boy is born, we are telling him, you are committed to godliness. You are committed to be a Jew just by the fact that you are born Jewish. It's not your choice. And this is the strongest commitment, something which is above every single one of us. And being Jew is not our choice. Just as a ending, I'll tell you a story. I once got a letter from a person who says that he was born a Jew, and he has been trying for a while already to renounce his Jewishness. He officially wrote in his last will and testament that he does not want to be buried in a Jewish cemetery. He does not want to have a Jewish funeral. He is writing to all of his relatives that he doesn't recognize himself as a Jew anymore. He's writing to me as a rabbi, saying, Rabbi, what else can I do to renounce my Jewishness? I want to stop being Jewish. So I wrote back to him. I said, the very fact that you are sending me this request and this question shows that there's nothing you can really do. You've done everything you could possibly do to renounce your Jewishness, and you still feel it's not enough. You still feel you still need to do something. You can't run away from being Jewish. That's it.